glory and honor goes to him. Amen. I'm still praying for God to gift someone in our congregation with the interpretation of tongues, so that when God comes through, we can receive the edification. Amen. We can receive what God wants us to receive. Amen. It may not necessarily be the sermon that I think that I have prepared, but we want God to always have his way. Amen. Because it's not about us, it's about God. Amen. Amen. Whatever God has for us, that's what we want. And we yield to God. Amen. Amen. Lord, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. So use this vessel, Lord, as you choose. And let my life, let it praise you. I pray that you would bring thoughts to my mind, give me clarity of speech. I pray, Lord God, that you would take complete control by your Spirit and edify your body by your word as it is declared today. I ask and receive this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm still on the thought of the good life. I'm on that thought, and this is for me, this is part three of the series, and on the thought of the good life, and then there's a thought that's on my mind to come that comes underneath that for today, and that thought is heaven-bound living. Heaven-bound living. Because as I was thinking about this, if you live the good life as God determines the good life, then you're actually living heaven-bound living. So walk with me, if you will, to St. John, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. We'll look at some things, and we'll maybe compare and contrast some scripture and what we find happening in some of our lives, or if we find certain things happen in some of our lives. I believe God wants us to be thinking people. I don't believe he wants us to just follow blindly, but he wants us, I think there's a scripture that talks about, you know, you're getting get an understanding. Amen? All right, so this is a very, very familiar passage of scripture in the 14th chapter of St. John, beginning at verse number 1. I have the Amplified Version of the Bible, and here's what it says. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on me also. So this is Jesus talking now, all right? So he doesn't want his listeners, his disciples, the people that he's teaching, he don't want them to be troubled in their hearts or distress. There were a lot of things that were going on even in Jesus' time that would cause one's heart naturally to be troubled. First of all, the teaching that Jesus brought down from heaven was different from the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people who were in religious power in Jesus' day. But what is quite fascinating, though, is if they would have truly understood the teaching of Moses, then they would have readily accepted the teaching of Jesus, because Moses said that the Lord was going to raise up a prophet like unto me amongst your brethren. And so the Old Testament, it was given indications and indicators that about the message that Jesus was going to bring down. But oftentimes what happens, the pure message of God, it gets convoluted in the tradition of men. So we have to be careful that we don't convolute or taint the message and intent that God has, because remember, Jesus in his ministry said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they, the scriptures, the Old Testament, that they held to, you know, their pride and their prominence in the earth, the scriptures was talking about Jesus, and they missed it. So sometimes you can, believe it or not, be in a religious environment and still miss Jesus. It's not necessary, you know, just a religious environment is not the end all. But what's most important is that you get to know Jesus. What's most important is that you get to know the one who's God manifested in the flesh. Is what's most important is that you get to know the only way of salvation that God has given to man. I heard something on the radio today that kind of disturbed me. It was a religious channel, and the gentleman was saying you need to go to a church or to a spiritual arena or something, how he phrased it, where he kind of left it ambiguous. There's a whole lot of spiritual people that don't know Jesus. So just because you might call yourself a spiritual person, it's what God calls you that really counts. Amen. So here Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He said, believe also in me. Basically, he's saying, I'm the representative of God. I and my Father are one. He said it in one place, but here he's just trying to get their faith to reach to a point where they're not anxious. And we're living in a day and time when things that we see on the world stage may cause some anxiousness in our human minds. But we have to know and understand that all these things must happen. All these things are working according to God's master plan. God has to have certain things to come in place in order for the things that he has already ordained to happen. So we should not be weary. We should not be anxious. But we should be aware. We should be sober. We should be vigilant. We shouldn't be walking around with our heads in the clouds, or we shouldn't be with our heads in the sand, but we have to know what time it is. It is actually a time where God, I believe, is calling us for use of a military term, to close ranks. He's calling us to get in alignment and to make sure that we are in alignment with his word. Because if we make sure that we are in alignment with his word, then whenever the trump sounds, we'll be ready to go. So God is bringing these things to our attention, and he's allowing these things to get the attention of the church to let us know that we still have a mission. Amen. And we have to be mission ready all the time. So he said in verse number 2, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places, many homes. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I am going away to prepare a place for you. So now that's good news to the followers of Jesus Christ. That should be heartwarming and comforting news, because the Lord said that he's going to prepare a place for us. Anybody happy about the place that God is preparing for us? Amen. A place where there will be no sin. Glory, hallelujah. A place where there will be no conflict. Glory, hallelujah. A place where there will be no pain. A place where there will be no death. A place where there will be no suffering. I'm looking for that place. And I'm glad that God is the one who's going to prepare it. Jesus himself, he said, I'm going to prepare it. Then he said in verse number 3, and if I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Look at the confidence that we should have in Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to make the place. I'm going to prepare the place. And matter of fact, I'm coming back to get you and take you to the place that I'm preparing. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. I'm filled with anticipation to go to that place that's prepared by Jesus himself. Amen. Amen. So then he said in verse number 4, and to the place where I'm going, you know where I'm going. Thomas, verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said in verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So basically Jesus is saying, look, if you ever needed a way, here's a way. Glory, hallelujah. He said, I'm the way. All you got to do is follow me. All you have to do is adhere to my teaching. All you have to do is live like I live. All you have to do is love what I love. I'm the way. And if you're looking for truth, here it is. I'm the truth. Every word of God is true. And he's a shield and buckler to those that trust in him. So Thomas was looking at truth. He was looking at truth. Then he said, I am the life. So if you expect life, if you expect to receive life, then you got to go through Jesus Christ. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So if you expect to go to the place, if you expect to be in that mansion, you got to come through Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy. You got to come through the only one who is the way. You got to come through the only one who is the truth and the only one who is the life. Now, we receive this as believers of Jesus Christ. We appreciate this, and we are happy about this because we know that there is a hope and a place for us, for those of us who are willing to live like Jesus commands us to live, for those of us who are willing to sacrifice certain things down here, for those of us who are willing to take up our cross daily and follow him. We're not doing this with no end in sight. First of all, we're doing this because we love the Lord. First of all, we're doing this because we are so glad that we are recipients of this great salvation. And just let me say this. If all there was for living for God was to have peace of mind here on earth and have strength to go through and have God to help us to go through whatever we face through life, that right there would be a whole lot more than what the world is offering us. But we have peace, we have confidence, we have the faithfulness and the power and the help of God on this side of eternity. And we got a promised place that he is building for us. So I'm happy. The Bible says in one place, if only in this life we had hope in Christ, we would be of all men most miserable. But aren't you glad that we have a hope beyond the grave? Aren't you glad that we have a hope that transcends this world? Aren't you glad that we have a hope, not only a hope, but we have a sure promise that is going to be fulfilled on the other side of eternity, because Jesus is building a house for us. So heaven is a prepared place, and he's working on it. He has all the dimensions. He's going to make it fit for each and every one of us. Now, oftentimes, when we take the Lord's cup and we consume communion, there's a scripture that points to a future event in heaven, I believe, and that's Matthew, the 26th chapter and verse number 29. Jesus speaking, he says, I say to you, I shall not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with you new and of superior quality in my Father's kingdom. So this points to, oh, there's going to be some great things happening over on the other side. There's going to be, I mean, to be able to sit down and to feast with Jesus at the marriage of the Lamb. That is something to look forward to. That is something to live forward to. Yes, there are incentives. Yes, there are incentives for living the good life as God describes it, because the main incentive is that we're going to see Jesus in peace. Glory, hallelujah. All our trials will be over. All our heartaches will be over. So this is something that should drive us to want to live like God wants us to live. This is something that the very word of God and the very promises of God are things that should motivate us and sustain us in order that we might go through whatever we have to go through to get to where God wants to take us. All right, so we're excited about the fact that there's a mansion that God is preparing for us. We're excited about the fact that we're going to be able to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb and enjoy a feast with God. Amen. To enjoy a feast with God. Now, So now there's a situation here that we need to contrast, okay? So now if we live according to how God wants us to live, there is a great inheritance for us, because the Bible declares that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So that means whatever Jesus get, we get too, all right? But there's a condition. First of all, we got to be born again, right? Because listen, you cannot begin to even live the good life until you get the new life, all right? So in order for you to live a good life, Jesus said in one place, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. So now there are some who are not living this way. Now Paul spoke in the book of Ephesians to the saints at Ephesus, and he was giving them some advice and giving them some warnings. In verse number 3 of chapter number 5 of Ephesians, this is what he says. He says, but immorality, sexual vice, and all impurity of lustful, rich, wasteful living or greediness must not even be named among you, as is fitting and proper among saints, God's consecrated people. Now, this sounds like what the world considers the good life. The world considers sexual vice, impurity, lustful, rich, wasteful living, or greediness. They figure that is the good life. I can do what I want with who I want. I can have what I want. I can get rich or die trying. I ain't trying to plug a movie, but it was already out there. Right? You know, I can just do whatever I want to do, right? This is what the world considers the good life, but Paul is saying that's not the good life. Paul is saying, as for saints, that shouldn't even be named among us. So he is causing us to examine, he's causing the saints at Ephesus to examine where their head is. Then he says, let there be no filthiness, no obscenity, no indecency, no foolish and sinful, silly and corrupt talk, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting or becoming, but instead voice your thankfulness to God. So he's saying that, look, we as saints, or the saints at Ephesus, shouldn't be using obscene language. Okay, I'm going to let that marinate for a minute. Yeah, because I've been cussed out by saints. More than one. All right? I've been cussed out. Amen. Now, he's writing this letter to saints, so evidently there was a problem with some of the saints at Ephesus. Right? I'm not saying it is y'all, but if it's you, then it is you. All right? He said, let there be no filthiness, obscenity, indecency. All right? So there was some indecency going on. There was some sexual perversion going on. Real quiet. Then he said, listen, how in the world do we expect to go to the place that God is preparing, that Jesus himself is preparing, and we dealing with some of this stuff, if we're dealing with it? Huh? That is not the good life, as God calls the good life. He said, nor foolish and sinful, silly, corrupt talk. So that means we can't be doing these things. All right? We just can't do it and expect to say, oh, yeah, well, I'm going. I'm making myself ready. Are you really making yourself ready? Huh? Then he said, nor coarse jesting. That means you can't be having no dirty jokes. Oh, I got to tell you this one. No, I ain't got to tell you nothing. In matter of fact, if I see you starting, I'm going to excuse myself from the surroundings. I don't even want to be in the environment of a dirty joke. I don't want to be in the environment. Listen, if that's all you can do at the water cooler, I'm going to bring my water from home so I ain't got to go to the water cooler. Huh? Because that's a spot where you're going to tell your little dirty jokes. That's okay. I'll bring mine. You see? There has to be a difference. There has to be a difference. Then he said, instead, voice your thankfulness to God. We ought to be thanking God every day. You know what? We ought to be thanking God just for the use of our bodies. We ought to be thanking God that when we wake up in the morning, we ought to be thanking God that we can get up out of the bed. We ought to be thanking God every time we eliminate, because one thing can happen and we won't be able to do the things that we so much take for granted. We ought to be thanking God. huh? When we get in the car and get to our destination, how those cars are engineered. Do you know there's fire and explosive in your engine? Huh? And something could happen and it could blow up. So every time you start your car and it don't blow up and you get to point A to point B, you ought to be thanking God for safe passage. Wait a minute. Well, what were you talking about? The Bible did say in everything give thanks. All right, so thank God for a safe journey. Thank God for a good night's sleep. Thank God for protection. You see, so now if our mouth is filled with thankfulness, then we don't have time for that other stuff. Huh? God, I thank you that I can pull my own pants up. Huh? I thank you that I can button my own shirt. Huh? God, I thank you that I could, although I'm wearing glasses, I can still see. Huh? Thank you that I can feed myself. We don't know how blessed we are. We don't know how blessed we are. Oh, take a trip to a hospital bed. Take a trip to a hospital ward and see people that can't change themselves. See people that can't clean up themselves. See people that can't feed themselves. And then we have nerve enough to complain because we're facing a little trouble. Instead, your voice should be thankfulness to God. Now, here's what he backs this up. He undergirds this. He says, verse 5, "For be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life." Well, that covers a whole lot right there. First of all, he gets to sexual vice. And just let me say, we are not stupid. We know that some people in the church are committing sexual vices. God said, cut it out. Be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life. What's on your mind? What are you looking at? If we was to confiscate your electronic devices and do a download of the sites that you visit, about 2:30, 3:05, 4:10 in the morning, if we would just download the sites that you visit, do you know that pornography is an epidemic even in the church? What we gonna do, brothers? Well, no. The brothers should have answered. The sisters shouldn't have had to answer that. Yeah, but the sisters are involved too, but it's mostly a man. It's mostly a man thing. But we got sisters involved in it too, but I asked the brothers first because we're supposed to be leaders. So brothers, what we gonna do? All right. Sisters, what we gonna do? Yes. Yeah. With this sexting and texting, it just ain't young folks. Come on, this is the, do y'all really want to live the good life? So we have to expose the things that does not equate to the good life, right? Sexual immorality, right? Impurity in thoughts. What goes through your head most of the time? Impure thoughts, all right? No person who practices these things, or one who is covetous, one who has a lustful desire for the property of others and is greedy for gain. Is there any covetousness in the house? Well, how did she get that? How did he get that? Look like every time I turn around, he got this, she got that. I wish I had. And then that becomes your major focus. I don't like her. Why? Because she got this. I don't like him. I don't like them because they got that. That's the covetous spirit. And you think you're going to the mansion? Not with that spirit, you're not. Others who are greedy for gain. All right? What you greedy? I think we talked about last week or one of the weeks before having food and raiment therewith to be content. But we are not content therewith. We want more. We want more food. We want more raiment. Thank you. We want more money, I don't know why I'm putting all these plugs in here. More money. That's what we want. Right? That's what we want. You know, now, but see, we're not honest enough to say that's what we want. We want to put on a show. We want to say, I'm happy with Jesus alone. No, you're not. Then why are you working two jobs? Why are you working two jobs? I'm happy with Jesus alone. See, we don't even sing that song no more. Maybe we forgot that was in the hymn book. Because, again, the encroachment of the world's thinking has invaded our minds. And then there is a diabolical side that says, if God's with you, then you got more of this and more of that and more of this. That's diabolical. Okay, let me break that down. That comes from the devil. Yes, it does. It comes from the devil. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. Jesus didn't own any property. As we look at it, but the word says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? How you going to take something from the, how you going to claim something and take something from the one who made it? God said, all this is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. If I needed something, God said, I'm going to ask you if I needed something. If I needed something, I could just make it. And then sometimes, I know I'm going off script here, but I think God is leading me. I know sometimes we pile all this stuff up, and when we transition, and they fight. I've seen families fight and not speak over some property, over some few coins. And I've seen families destroy legacies with greed, because of greed. I don't talk to her. Well, that's your sister. That's your brother. I ain't none of my sisters. I disown. How you going to disown? How you going to disown somebody? What is that? Do you have any power or authority to do that anyway? No, but see, that's in your mind. Be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life. So if you live in an impure life, you ain't going to inherit this mansion. Or is greedy for gain, for he, in effect, is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So don't think you're going to inherit it. All right? Let no one delude and deceive you with empty excuses and groundless arguments for these sins. See, this type of lifestyle is sin. And you got some people say, oh, well, it's all right. No, it's not all right. So don't let nobody deceive you. Don't let nobody delude you with empty excuses. Do the best you can. No, we ain't going for that. Not if you're saved. It ain't no do the best you can. No. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. That strength is me. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to abase. So listen, all I have to do is yield. Again, step down off the throne of my life and put God back on the throne of my life, and God can successfully take me through everything that I need to go through. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. So God is always victorious, and God can always cause me to be victorious if I choose to yield myself to him and to his word and stop trying to figure out God and stop trying to do things my way. All I have to do is yield to the Spirit of God that he gave me. And because I hear the Bible said in one place, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if I'm being led by the Spirit of God, then sometimes I'm going to be led into some uncomfortable things that my flesh and my mind and my own human reasoning does not want to deal with, but God knows what it takes for me to go and grow. So God will send me sometimes, or he will have his spirit lead us sometimes into situations that will shape and reveal the very character that he placed in us. So yes, we will be tested. Yes, we will be tried. But no, we will not be abandoned. So if God brings us a test, if God brings a situation to us, if God brings a circumstance to us, then God has already pre-approved the situation and the test and the circumstance, and he knows that we are able to bear it, because I hear the word say, with the temptation, God will always provide a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. So the next temptation comes, look at it as a challenge for you to show how mighty God is. Not how strong I am, not how strong or smart you are, but if I humble myself, if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, God will exalt us in due time. God can take us through the trial, and the trial can be a teaching moment. The trial can be a moment of clarity that we can see just how powerful our great God is. God wants us to experience him in ways that we have not experienced him as of yet. And sometimes it's going to cause for some suffering on our part. Sometimes it's going to cause for some hurt on our part. Sometimes it's going to cause for some humility on our part. But you know what he's doing? He is fashioning us. He is molding us. He is purifying us through the fire of tests and trials, because that's what you got to do to gold. Gold, it needs the heat of the furnace. Gold needs that heat, that intense heat in certain areas. So God is, sometimes it seems like we're facing one thing after another, and it seems like there's no end in sight, but just hold on, because he that will come shall come, and his reward is with him. Don't you take yourself out of the fire, because listen, God's in the fire with you. He made the fire, he prescribed the fire, he ordered the fire, and it won't do anything but make you look just like him. What the fire will do, what the test of life will do, it will make us, it will reveal the dross that is in us, because just in case you didn't know it, breaking news, there's no good thing in this flesh, and there's still some sin in this body. So sometimes God has to turn up the heat, he has to turn up the fire so the sin can ooze out. You say, ooh, I didn't know that was there, but thank God he showed it to me when he did. Ooh, wait a minute, there's another spot over here. Wait, there's something going on in the back corner and recesses of my mind that I thought I was done with, but the fire and the situation cause it to come to the forefront, and God, who is so great in mercy, he allows us to see ourselves. He allows us to see that we need him. Thank God for repentance that's in the foundation of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, because every time a spot shows up in my life, God brings it, glory, hallelujah, to my attention, and he allows me space. Look, son, there's something there. I can't shout that out. I got to repent. I got to repent and ask God for forgiveness. And God is so kind. He's so gracious. He turned the heat up on me, because I wouldn't turn the heat up on myself. But he turned the heat up on me and allowed the sin to ooze out of my mind, ooze out in my members, and say, what you gonna do with that? That's how God talks to me. Listen, you ain't gotta have a PhD to talk to God. God knows Ebonics. If all you know is Ebonics, God will talk to you in Ebonics. God will say, what's up with that? How you gonna deal with that? So that means I got to deal with it. I can't hide it, because God showed it to me. So I gotta say, yeah, Lord, you got me again. That was me. I sure was thinking that. So I gotta confess. I gotta repent. And God is so kind. God is so loving that he forgives me. Woo, glory. Immediately. All that, that's the good. You're talking about a good life when you mess up. When I mess up, I ain't got to go through a 3-day waiting period. I ain't got to go through a 30-day probation. All I got to do is confess my sin and repent of it. And God said, clean. Now get up. Get up from there, you bum. Get up and fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. God said, I called you. I called you to live a sanctified life. I call each and every one of my children, and I've given them power. I've given them victory. So when you fall, and you will fall from time to time, don't wallow in your falling. Get up from there. Shake yourself off. Look up to God and say, yeah, God, that was me that time. You're right. My bad. You got me, God. And all I got to do is acknowledge. Listen, if you cover your sin, you will not prosper. You can't cover nothing from God, so you might as well come clean. That's a part of living the good life. I can come clean to God. I can let God know, yeah, I did lust after her, because God, you know, she's kind of fine. Yeah, I did lust after him, because he got it going on. But God, forgive me. And if you mean it, now, you can't front with God. You might front with me or some of us, but if you mean it, God looks at your heart, say, forgiven. What a good life to be forgiven from the initial sin and to be forgiven from subsequent sins if we do what the good word tells us to do. Glory. That's a good life. That's a good life. Because the devil will try to tell you, he tried to tell us, oh man, you done messed up this time. Oh, you can't recover. Oh, he's a liar. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. All I got to do is go to my father. I got to come clean. Say, God, I wanted to do it, and I did it. Lord, help me to hate it like you hate it. Because the problem is sometimes we like it. Sometimes we like it. So then that's where that battle intensifies. I want attention. Nobody's paying me attention. Y'all got real quiet. Must have hit a vein there. Well, I'm going to work it. I want attention. Nobody's paying me attention. There's no, oh Lord, I'm going there. There's no saved brothers or saved sisters in the church. There's no available brothers. Oh Lord, there's no available sisters in the church. There's no available young people that I can kick it with. What kind of kicking you doing? Why don't you invite somebody to church? Listen. When and if God wants you to find a mate, don't you think God is smart enough, huh, to set things up for you, huh? What you worry? Okay, now I believe this, and I'll tell you why I believe this. Because there's nothing new to God. Whatever mate is for you, God has already picked him or her out. Oh, Lord. Well, you saying that you married. You've been married 32 years. How you? We met in a bar. But God knew that. The bar is no longer there. It has served its purpose. Glory. Hallelujah. It ain't even there no more. Look at God. I'm rejoicing in that glory. It ain't there no more. But it was there when I needed to meet her. And we were not saved. Huh? We met in a bar. We were not saved. But guess what? Her mother was saved. And her mother was a member of Emmanuel Temple Church in Bakersfield. So her mother had been praying. So after her mother passed, listen, prayers have no expiration date. So now I'm sure her mother didn't know that I was going to meet her in a bar. But the prayers were still in that bar with her. So when we met in the bar and we hooked up, I didn't know that her mother was saved. I didn't know that. I didn't know nothing about really being saved. But we started shacking up. I don't advise it. Shacking up is wrong. Get good on the camera. Shacking up was wrong. We were in sin. We weren't saved yet. I do not advise it. So I told her, I said, we need to get married. She was like, ooh. I said, because we can't keep doing this. See, listen. See, even if you're not saved, God put something in us to know right from wrong. Yeah, you can try to cover it up with the weed and cover it up with the get high, but you know when you're wrong. Come on. You feel me on that one? Yeah, you know when you're wrong. You ain't even got to go in the church building, but you know. Oh, no, this ain't right. No, man, I can't keep doing this. This ain't right. I got to get it together. Right? You know that. So I told her. I said, we need to get married. We went to Las Vegas, ooh, Sin City, that's all right. That was all in the plan. Went to Las Vegas, got married in May, came to the church, got saved in June. Glory, hallelujah, woo! Huh? That's in the plan of God. Yeah, that's a good life. Uh-oh. I'm gonna brag on God, but this might make me look good just a little bit. But when I saw her, she was with somebody else. Glory, glory, glory. She was with somebody else. And I got a code. You know, you got a street code. If y'all just bear with me. I'm helping y'all. I think I am. I'm trying. It's a code on the street. If somebody with somebody, then you don't step to them. So that's out of respect. That's just a street thing, you know. So anyway, I was working downtown, and she was working at the LA Athletic Club. I was staying at a Skid Row hotel, and she was staying at a different one. And I worked for a Korean gentleman on Broadway, and she would get off of work and pass where I worked. And I was like, hey, okay. I was checking her out. I was cutting keys on the key machine, checking her out. So one day, I had to go to the bathroom. And I stopped by the bar to go to the bathroom on my way to my Skid Row hotel. And guess who was sitting up at the bar by herself? Marilyn. And she was by herself. By herself. So I went to the bathroom, and as I'm washing my hands, I said, uh-oh, this might be a good chance. What you gonna do, Scooby? So I walked up to the bar. And I asked her, I said, do you mind if I sit here? She said, no. 32 years later, here we are. God is great. Only God could put something like that together. I got saved on a Wednesday, invited her to come to church. She got saved that Sunday. Amen. And we've been trying to live the good life ever since, huh? We've been trying. but I said all that to say, live your life for God. God has, I believe he's already picked out the mate for you. He's already picked. Don't be anxious. Don't make too quick of a choice. Oh, Lord, don't do it. Don't do it. And don't. You, him, or her, sample the merchandise. Okay, I'm going to say that again. That didn't go over too good. Don't you, him, or her, sample the merchandise. All right, okay, all right. Shall I go further? Just a little further. Stay out of close quarters when it's just you and the other person. Huh? You ain't got no business being hugged up. Huh? You got the lights low. You got the music going. Oh, we just going to Netflix and chill. The devil is a lie. Huh? Yeah, the devil is a lie. Oh, no, we just going to kick it. I just like being around. No, no. Get up and get out of there. Huh? Turn them lights on. Huh? In fact, y'all need to go on double dates and go to a public place. Don't go to Junebug Sugar Shack. Mm-mm. Go to Red Lobster. Turn some lights on. Go to Cheesecake Factory. And end the date, then you all go your separate ways. Because there's no good thing that dwells in the flesh. Don't tempt yourself. Oh, I can maintain. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. The good life. I'm trying to teach us something that will help us. If you will receive it, it'll help you. It'll help you. You ain't got no. I ain't got no business feeling on her, and he ain't got no business feeling on me. Right? Because one thing will lead to another. Oh, you talking about this in church? This is where we need to talk about it. Because the streets will tell you, oh yeah, just do it. Everybody's doing it. Go ahead. Satisfy your desires. The devil is a liar. Keep yourself. What an honor it would be for you and your spouse to present yourselves on your wedding night as virgins. Is that a bad word in the church? Huh? Ain't nobody said nothing. What an honor it would be for you and your spouse to present yourselves as virgins on your wedding night. Keep yourself. All right, I'm going to stop. I hope y'all invite me back next week, because I got some more stuff to tell you about the good life. Well, one thing that I will share as a conclusion, there was a man who was a religious leader in Jesus' day. There was a man who was a religious leader and scholar and a leader in Israel. And he heard about and he saw some of the things that Jesus was doing in his ministry when Jesus started his ministry, his public ministry. And he came to Jesus by night. This man was Nicodemus. He said, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, but nobody can do the things that you do except God be with him. For an average person or an average minister, probably would have got the big head on that moment and said, well, you know, the Lord just blesses me like that. I just flow like that. But Jesus said, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that unless a person is born again, anew, from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb again and be born? Jesus answered, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a man is born of water and even the Spirit, he cannot ever enter into the kingdom of God. What is born of or from the flesh is flesh. Of the physical is physical. And what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Do not be surprised. Do not be astonished at my telling you, you all must be born anew from above. So we say to you this morning, if you want to enter into beginning to live the good life, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, or else you can't even see the kingdom of God. Somebody want to be born again this morning? This is an invitation for you to begin living the good life. You can't begin to live the good life until you're born again. Are you here this morning? Are you here? Do you appreciate and recognize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world? Are you here this morning? Are you here? I want to be saved. I want to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. I want the new life so I can live the good life. I want the eternal life. I want the infilling of the Spirit of God. I want the infilling of the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. Born of the Spirit, according to the Bible.